بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا، وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنا. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل، وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك. أما بعد، فحياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to all of you, inshallah, for our class today as we continue in the tafsir of the Quran al-Azim with the words of Allah the Most High. And inshallah, today we'll be reading from Surah Baqarah, verses 178 and 179. And the topic of these ayat is regarding al-qisas. Al-qisas, which we'll talk about, is the law of equality in punishment in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah Most High says, as we can translate in English, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى. O you who believe, commanded for you is the qisas, the law of retribution or equality in murder. The free man, الحر بالحر, the free man for a free man, والعبد بالعبد, a slave for a slave, والأنثى بالأنثى, and a female for a female. فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان. And whoever forgives the qisas, if the family forgives the qisas, then they should accept the diya. They should accept the diya in kindness and not prevent the payment of the diya. ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. That is a dispensation from Allah. He allows us to go away from the qisas and apply the diya. وَرَحْمَةٌ, and mercy. فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So whoever takes or accepts the diya, the blood payment, and then after that he still takes the life of the murderer, after accepting the blood payment, then that person, he has done wrong, because he has accepted the payment, and this is a contract to protect his life, yet the person seeks revenge and takes his life. فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So he will have a great punishment. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. This ayah here is considered by many ulama as the most eloquent ayah in the whole Qur'an. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And you have in the law of qisas life, O those of deep understanding, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you might have piety. So let us go together, inshaAllah, and go over these ayat word by word, this ayah, inshaAllah, and discuss some of the meanings, بِإِذْنِ ta'ala. Allah says, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and He calls on the believers by the sifa of iman. O you who believe. So to remind us that this iman that we have should lead us to follow what he's going to command after, later in the ayah. O you who believe, kutiba alaykum al-qisas. Kutiba in the Quran, literally kataba in Arabic means to write something. But kutiba alaykum al-qisas, ulama, it means it has become required upon you. When something is written, Kutiba alaykum, what Allah Azza wa Jalla means is that it has become required upon you. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Written for you or upon you is the fasting. And what written literally means, it means it has become obligatory upon you in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So written upon us or commanded upon the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the qisas. And the qisas, literally in Arabic, qassasa, it means to follow the traces, or to follow in the footsteps of a person. We know, we see in the story of Musa in Khidr, when he had gone out and he was searching for Khidr, and then the fish came alive, and Musa, his servant forgot to tell Musa. So later on, Musa said, bring us the fish so that we can eat it. We've become so tired from our journey. And the boy, the servant boy said, oh, I forgot to tell you. The fish came alive and it jumped into the sea and swam away. So Musa alayhi salam, he said, why didn't you tell me? That was the place where I was supposed to meet Khidr. So what did he do? He went back. فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصَىٰ. Then he traced back in his footsteps to find that place where the fish had come to life so that he could find Khidr alayhi salam over there. So qasasa here, fartadda ala atharihima qasasa, means to retrace the steps that a person has taken. And this is why we have in Arabic the word qissa. Qissa means story, because one is retelling the events that had taken place in the past. So what does this mean when it comes to punishment? Qisas. Qisas means that the one who killed, his life is taken. The one who killed and took the life of another, in return for that, then his life is taken. This is what qisas means. To take the life of the one who took the life of another. It's repaying with what he has done. Repaying him in kind. This is what is intended by the meaning of the word qisas. So we see here that Allah is commanding that the qisas, that anyone who kills a life or takes a life, then he should have his life taken. This is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is called al-qisas. Fil qatla. Qatla means those who are murdered, those who are killed. Allah is commanding the qisas. But then after that, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, al-hurru bil-hur, al-adlu bil-adl, al-untha bil-untha. The free for the free. And this, we have to look at the reason behind this, the revelation of these ayahs, to really understand what is being said here. What happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was two tribes who in the times of Jahiliyyah, they used to fight one another. And in fact, they had killed many of them. They had killed from one tribe to another. One tribe had killed a woman. And so the other tribe had said, they said, you killed a woman from our tribe, so in return, we're going to kill a man from your tribe. Because we're greater than you, we're better than you. So it's not enough to just take the life of the woman who committed the murder, but they wanted to take an increase on that and kill a man in her stead. And if a slave had killed a slave from another tribe, then they would say, we want to kill a free man in response for that murder that took place by that slave. They wouldn't take the life of the one who committed the murder. But because of their tribalism, they said that we have to take revenge by taking more. If they killed a woman, we're going to kill a man. If they killed a slave, we're going to kill a free person. If they killed a free person, we're going to kill more than that, more than one free person. So this was the Jahili mentality that existed. This idea of revenge, of taking and fighting one another, and taking revenge from one another. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He revealed this ayah, which is saying that there must be equality. It should only be done in terms of equality. The slave for the slave, the female for the female. If a slave committed murder, then only take his life, no one else's. If a female committed murder, only take her life and no one else's. And if a free man committed murder, only take his life and no one else's. This is equal for equal. And it removed the Jahili custom of seeking revenge and always wanting more. Always the one who takes revenge, he wishes to take more than what was taken from him. But as we'll see that in Islam, the wisdom that Allah will speak about in the qisas is not revenge, but it's actually to bring life to the society. In the qisas, there is life for humanity, because the one who killed and the one who's being killed, if they knew about the qisas, their lives would have been saved. The murderer, when he thinks about committing murder, when he knows about the qisas, his anger, the corruption in his mind is put in check. It's a type of what they call zajr in Arabic. It is a discouragement. So it prevents the murderer from committing the murder. So it saves the life of countless people who would be killed. And it saves the life of those who commit the murder, because they know about the law of qisas. And this is the wisdom in the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah says, الحر بالحر العبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى. So in order to save life and bring life to society and to prevent crime and prevent retribution and revenge, then Allah has commanded equality, exact equality in punishment. The one who took a life, his life is taken and no one else's is taken. But in addition to that, Allah Azza wa Jal, He commands also a way of mercy. He says, الْأُنْثَى بِالْأُنْثَى فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So whoever forgives, then Allah says one can forgive the family of the one who's murdered. He can forgive the one who committed the crime by accepting the diyah. The diyah is the payment, the blood payment in return. And this is something that was only given to the law of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Allah says, ذَلِكَ تَخْفِيفٌ. That is a lightening of the burden. Because if you look in the Torah, in the Jewish law, they only had the qisas. They didn't have the diyah. The murderer must be killed. And there was no rahmah. There was no alternative if there was to be rahmah for the crime. So in that case, they didn't have the diyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He enjoined upon the Muslims. He said, فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. Whoever forgives the brother who committed the crime, then in that case, he should accept the payment without forcing, without harming the person, and it should be given فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And the family who offers to pay the diyah, they should pay that, make that payment without preventing the payment from coming to the family. They should pay it with ihsan. That is a takhfif, that is a lightening from Allah Azza wa Jal. Mir Rabbikum wa rahma. That is mercy. This is the mercy that Allah has prescribed. فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. اِعْتَدَى in Arabic, it means to rebel. And i'tida means to rebel, to have enmity. So if somebody committed a murder, and then the family of the one killed, they agree to accept the diyah, the blood payment. And so the murderer and his family, they give the diyah, and they paid, and they had the forgiveness from the family. After that, is it allowed for them to take revenge on the murderer? It is not allowed after that, because they have come to a contract, an agreement, and Muslims have to abide by their contracts. So after taking and forgiving and taking the blood payment, there can be no revenge after that. There should be no hostility between the families after that. So Allah says, فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Whoever rebels after that, then he will have a great punishment. Also, we see in the next verse, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. And this is one of the very eloquent verses of the Quran. Two things that appear to be opposites. Qisas, it means killing. It means taking the life of a murderer. And then the opposite of that is hayat, is life. So how can these two things, these two opposite things be put together, this is the eloquence of the Qur'an. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. Because the qisas, the law of retribution, it leads to life. It leads to the saving of life. It prevents the murderer before he commits his murder. And if the punishment is carried out, then it will act as a prevention for the rest of society to follow in that path of committing murder, that path of taking another's life that has been sanctified and protected by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. And this is this short statement, فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ, is teaching us the wisdom in the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everything Allah has prescribed, it has a wisdom. It has a benefit for society, a benefit for us. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. Ya, for who would realize that there is life in the law of qisas? Ya unil albab. Lub, in Arabic it means the core of a fruit. If you have a fruit, the middle part of it is called the lub. Ulil albab are those people who have deep understanding. So those who understand and reflect, they realize that the law of Allah, the law of qisas, it brings life to society. But those who have a very narrow-sighted perspective, they say that we have to have mercy on the one who committed the crime. And there should be no qisas at all. Even if the family wishes to have the qisas, then they're restricting their mercy to one individual. But who's going to have mercy on the whole of society that will live in fear and that will lead to other murders taking place? Who will have mercy on the whole of society? So Allah, our Creator, He knows what is best for our society. He knows what is best for humankind. In qisas is life. In the qisas is life for humanity, the saving of life for humanity. And this is what is called ijaz in the Quran. Ijaz means concise words. Arabic is known as a language, a very concise language. And especially this verse. Before, in the times of Jahiliyyah, they had a statement. They said, قَتْلُ الْبَعْدِ إِحْيَاءٌ لِلْجَمِيعِ. They said, killing some is giving life to everyone. Killing some people will give life to everybody else. However, the Quranic verse is much more eloquent. Much more eloquent. It's shorter, it has less words, and also it summarizes the wisdom of the qisas without the opposite that is in this verse. قَتْلُ الْبَعْدِ إِحْيَاءٌ لِلْجَمِيعِ. Killing some will give life to all. But the Quranic verse, it says فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٍ. So it is saying that the life will be saved even before, without having the قَتْل and حَيَاء in the same verse, in the same statement. Qisas is the law of retribution. So it'll save life before the killing actually takes place. Okay, so let us go to some of the rulings or some of the rules that are derived from this verse. When Allah says al-hurru bil-hur, wal-'abdu bil-'abd, wal-untha bil-untha, what if a free person, he kills a slave? Is his life taken in that case? And also, what if a Muslim, he kills a dhimmi? May Allah save us from that. If a Muslim, he transgresses against the dhimmi, is his life taken because of that? Because we see in the verse, it says, al-untha bil-untha. What if a man kills a woman? So is his life taken in that case? Al-untha bil-untha. What is meant by the verse, the free for the free, the slave for the slave, the woman for the woman, what is meant is the equality and the cancelling out of what took place in the days of Jahiliyyah, where they want to have retribution for more than what is equal. And so the Hanafi school, they state that what is meant by this verse is that there should be equality. The killer should be killed and nobody else. And so they took a more general understanding of the verse. And so they said, in that case, even if a free person kills a slave, he's still to be taken account. Even if a Muslim, he kills a non-Muslim, he has to be given the qisas. This is according to the understanding of the Hanafi school. Some of the other schools, they had a different interpretation, where they said that the verse was specific for the slave has to be only for a slave, not for a free person, and there would be some other punishment in that case. The free person for a free person, and if a free person killed a slave, he has a punishment that's in the jurisdiction of the judge, but not according to this verse. But the Hanafi school, they have a strong proof also. They have the verse "An-nafsu bin-nafs wa katabna 'ala bani Israel an-nafsu bin-nafs." Right? Allah says a soul for a soul in this other verse. So any two souls, any person who wrongfully took the soul of another, he has to be taken into account. Also, we have a question, brothers and sisters in Islam, about a parent, a father, if he kills his son. Is there qisas in this case? Very good, Brother Bilal, you're right. There's according to the Jumhur, the majority of scholars, that the father is not, there's no qisas in the taking the life of his son. Because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, لا يقتل الوالد بولده. A parent is not killed for taking the life of his child. And this is because the ulama state that normally the father, he has more love and more mercy for his child. And it would be very rare for him to take the life of the child without, in that case, it would be rare for him to do that, to punish his child or to kill his child and have without having love for his child. It's very rare to do that. So the majority of ulama, they saw that there was no qisas in that case. However, the Maliki school, they said that there is qisas. If a father kills his son, he has to be given a qisas in that case, according to Imam Malik. And we have one other important question, which is, what if a group of people gather together and they kill a single person? Is the whole group supposed to be given the qisas? Or what is to be done in that case? Right? Because Allah says, Al-hurru bil-hur, an-nafsu bil-nafs, in the other verse. So does this mean that a group of people cannot be punished for coming together and killing a single person? The majority of scholars, they say that no. Even if a group of people, they kill a single person, they have to all be punished. This is the form of dhahab, they say that. And they have as a proof the words of Umar ibn al-Khattab. When seven people, they got together in Sana'a in Yemen, and they killed a boy. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said that all of them have to be given a qisas. And he said, even if the whole city of Sana'a got together and committed this murder, all of them would be punished with a qisas. So you see how Umar, he was of the view that however many people gather together, they have to be punished if they take the life. And the reason for that, one of the reasons that they say, is that if it was the case that we cannot punish two people for taking the life of one person, then whenever somebody wanted to commit murder, they would always get a partner with them. They say, come with me, let's go kill this person, like they tried to do with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. They said, let us, all of our tribe, share the blood and stab the Prophet ﷺ together. This is what the shaitan had whispered to them. So they thought that the punishment would not be accountable, because it would have been, the blood would be on all the tribes. So in order to prevent this type of thinking, that a person, they would try to gather together and commit murder instead of doing it himself, then the scholars, they say that they have to be punished all together in order to remove this plan from their minds, or this idea from their minds. But the Zahiri school, they said that the ayah says, al-qisas, if you look at the verse, it states that one free life for one free life. So the Zahiri school, the school that was founded by Abu Dawud al-Zahiri in Andalus, in Spain, they were known for taking a very literal approach to understanding the verses. They didn't believe in analogy. So they said that the verses, literally it says a free person for a free person. So they said if you have many free people who kill a free person, then they should not be given the qisas. This is the Zahiri opinion. But the other madahib, they didn't accept that argument. also in a very, very important ruling, and this is our last ruling, inshallah, and I hope all of us can benefit from this, is that who is the one who is responsible for the qisas? Is it the tribal leader or the father in the family? The qisas can only be carried out by the ruler. All of the scholars and all of the muftis, they are under complete agreement that qisas can only be carried out by the ruler. It is not right for a father to take the hajj to do it, to carry out the qisas himself. Or any person, if a murder took place and he knows who the murderer was, somebody killed his brother or killed his father or killed his cousin, he cannot take it into his own hands. He cannot take the law into his own hands and go and carry out the qisas. He cannot say that the Quran says, "Kutiba alaykum al-qisas," I'm going to carry it out. This is a misunderstanding of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's sharia, it has a system of implementation, which is that the ruler, he is the one who carries out the punishment of the qisas. And if that weren't the case, then it would lead to chaos. One person, he would take revenge for another, and perhaps the evidence wasn't even established correctly. And so then they will take revenge, and this will lead to much chaos in society. So in order to prevent this type of the ulama, they all agree that qisas and any of the hudud can only be carried out by the sultan, by the law, the ruler of the land. No one else has the right. And we hear sometimes of what they call the honor killing, where a father or a brother, he supposedly kills the sister for committing zina. This is completely against Islam. It is not right for a person to, even if we say the person did commit the crime, and Allah knows best, the father or anybody else in the family does not have right to carry out the hajj. And even further than that, or more than that, that a woman who commits the zina, the punishment is not murder, is not capital punishment for an unmarried woman who commits zina. So they're taking things far beyond the sharia. The person is committing a major crime by taking the life of his daughter or his sister in what they call the honor killing. So finally, to summarize, inshaAllah ta'ala, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, qisas, the law of qisas, it prevents crime. And this is all of the punishments in Islam. They prevent crime from happening in society. It brings life to humanity. It brings life to society. And it is not permissible for one to take revenge himself, nor to wish to take revenge on another person. Say a person committed the murder, and he's not able to get a hold of the person who committed the murder, so he takes revenge on somebody else in the family. This is also forbidden in Islam. And finally, there must be equality in the taking of life, so that there's not the tribal mentality that was in the times of Jahiliyyah. That there must be only the murderer is the one whose life is taken. There shouldn't be this tribal mentality where they took somebody from our tribe, so we're going to take somebody from their tribe. This mentality is being cancelled out by the Qur'an from the days of Jahiliyyah. And so we see through these verses the great wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the qisas, it removes the ghadab, the anger and the hatred that would naturally be in the heart of the family towards the murderer. This is the fitrah that Allah has created in every human being. That one who takes a life, then he absolves himself of the right to his life. Yet Islam provides a way out, a mercy. If the diyah is accepted by the family, then this is even better, and Allah encourages that, and that is better for all of those, for the families involved. And also we see the great wisdom of the sharia of Islam. And those who write the secular laws, they have a very narrow understanding. If they say that we have to have mercy on one who committed murder, what about the one who was killed? Who had mercy on him? Why don't they think about having mercy on those people who were killed wrongfully? Why don't they think about mercy for all of society who will live in the fear of murder, and where murder will become more common as it has become. So Islam has taught us something which is very wise, and the Sharia of Islam is in the benefit of all those who reflect and who think deeply about the wisdom of Allah's laws. So inshallah, this is what we had for today, inshallah, for these ayat. We ask Allah to give us the good understanding of the Quran, to benefit us by it, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khair.